To the first chapter of Colossians this morning, please. Colossians chapter 1. As you heard in my prayer, our title for this morning's message is Above All. Above All. Listen to these words from Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Our Lord speaking. Well, let me just set the table for you. There was a great crowd of people. The Lord had been, it was in the house. I forget whose house it was now, but he was in a house having a meal and or something to that effect. And some people came to him and said, your mother's calling for you. Your brothers, your family's calling for you outside. They can't get in. It's too many people. And he says, my mother, my brothers and sisters, this whole crowd, all these people. By the way, you and I are in that family. If we have been called from the darkness that we once walked in, if we have been called to see the lowliness, sinful self of the flesh, and the light and the glory of God's grace found only in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ has been shined in our hearts, we are members of that family that he's talking about. This is my family, he says. And he goes on, and in verse 37 he says this, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I want that to sink in. I want you guys to grasp a hold of what we're about to look at here. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Our Lord is not contradicting himself here in the regards to his instructions of honoring thy father and thy mother. Some would say, see the scriptures, this is a contradiction right there. The Lord's telling you to hate your mother and father here, and then over in other parts of the scripture he's saying, honor thy mother and father. How can we believe it? That's not what he's saying here. What he's saying here is simply this. He's putting the head where it should be. Right on top. Above all. The head of the church is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church, the called out. We go about our lives honoring the members, but without the head, we all know this, the members have no value. Isn't it amazing that God has brought us to a point in this world, in this time, that he's given us the ability to manufacture something that can replace just about every part of your body. If your heart's no good, they can put a mechanical heart in there and it'll work. If your liver's no good, they can put a mechanical liver in there. They can do this, they can do this. They can give you an arm. They can give you an arm that actually will reach over and grab a cup of water and drink. They'll give you, and you can dial phone numbers and stuff, punch numbers on it. They can't give you a new head. I know like myself, there's many who say, I'd really like to have a new head. But we can't. You take the head off, and the whole body stops. What our Lord is saying here is, I am the Lord. I can't even reach that high. Our Lord's saying, I'm the Lord. If you love your father more than you love me, then you're not worthy of me. If you love your mother, which you better, more than you love me, you're not worthy of me, because I'm the head. I'm the Lord. There shall be no other. There is none above me. I ask you this morning, Is he your Lord? Real easy for us to say yes. Real easy to say yes. I want you to look in your heart. I want you to look deep down inside of your heart. Do I declare him Lord in everything that I do? I don't. I want to. I try to. But I don't. Which makes me very, very thankful that the Lord allows me to stumble. Allows me to kick my toe against the coffee table in the dark at night and scream out and say, Lord, there's something going on that I needed to do that for. I know that you're Lord of that, even. I know that he's Lord of whoever it is that's sitting in the so-called White Houses or the buildings that people sit in to rule over what they think they're ruling over in the country. Our Lord is Lord. He's sovereign Lord of everything. Do I esteem him above all others? Including this one who stands before you. I can tell you this, that whether we answer yes or no, by the authority of his word, he is Lord of all. Some have been brought to know this now, like you and I. And some will be brought to know this in the days that are coming. Lord willing, some of my loved ones. I pray for my children. I pray for all of those that I know who are lost in darkness still. That if they belong to God, and I know they will. I know that if they belong to him, they will be called. They will be brought to know who is the Lord. And others will be brought to know it all at the end of their time. Are you with me in Colossians chapter 1? Paul is addressing the saints, the faithful brethren. And after his opening address, he shares with them his prayer for them, or in other words, his desire. And he shares it for this reason, to encourage them, to admonish them to walk worthy of their calling. Look at verse 10 of Colossians chapter, chapter 1. Here you go. Chapter 1, verse 10. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, those of you who were able to be here for our Bible study, you remember I mentioned to you that it's going right from our Bible study right into the message. You see? It does, doesn't it? Well, it's going to continue that way till the end. Increase. That it might increase in the knowledge of God. This is the prayer of all of God's saints. This is what we pray for each other. Yes, we do raise each other up, as I mentioned about our brother Mike, those of our brothers and sisters who have been sick, those who are brothers and sisters who are dealing with lost family members. We raise them up for those reasons, but more importantly, we raise them up that they might stand fast. We cry out to our Lord to give them strength, our brothers and sisters, to stand fast in the gospel of Christ, increasing in the knowledge of God, lifting him up. To increase in the knowledge of God is exactly that. It's to lift him up above all others. It's to lift him up above all things that are created. It's to say, yes, that thorn I just stuck in my foot accidentally is of my God. Because he's Lord of everything. It's yes, the rain came last night and blessed us with a wet parking lot. Awesome. We haven't had that in a long time. It rained a little bit the other day, not quite as much. It didn't rain too much last night, but it did a little bit. But that is of my Lord. Our prayers for the increasing in the knowledge of God, lifting Him up, giving Him glory as we make our walk before men. You've heard me say this before. My son doesn't know the Lord, but you know what? He knows his father does. Why? Because I go around beating him over the head with the Bible? Why? Because I go about telling him, hey, this is the 5 points of Calvinism. You need to live the life like this. No. It's because if I smash my finger where I used to say a word that I won't repeat here in this pulpit, nowadays it's, ah, Lord. Ouch. Maybe there's something that he's keeping me from. Or after the 10th red light. Ah! I gotta get to that place in Roseville. I'm gonna be late for dinner. That's what I was thinking last night. I was like, I left an hour ahead of time. I should be there. But I'm hitting every red light. But you know what? Here's what a child of God does. A child of God thinks, Lord, you may be saving me from something that'll light up ahead of me. We give our Lord the glory for everything before the men, before our walk, in our walk before men. Listen to the words. I gotta take this off, it's hot in here. Sorry. Listen to the words of 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Listen carefully. Furthermore, this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, we exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. We were talking in Bible study this morning about how the phrase progressive sanctification at one time was used in that very fact, in that very point, was used meaning growing in grace, growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus, and how the world took that phrase, the Jesus loves everybody people, took that phrase and they made it into a phrase of becoming more holy, which is not correct. Folks, the people of God progress. But we don't progress in the way the world progresses. As I shared with our brothers and sisters this morning, we progress downwardly. We progress more and more in the sin that we... Answer me this correctly if you're from your own heart. You don't have to raise your hand to actually say it, but think about this in your own heart. When you first were saved, when the Lord first showed you the truth of who He is, what He's done, and where He is right now, and what you are, do you consider yourself more a sinner now than you did then?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You see what I mean about progressing down? You know what that does though? That progresses my Lord. That raises up His mercy, His grace for me even more than what I had seen it before, because I see how great His mercy is. Where sin aboundeth, grace aboundeth much more. Does that mean we're supposed to go out and sin more? No. Paul says very clearly, God forbid. That's not what that's meaning at all. Listen to the words of Hebrews 13, verses 21 through 20, or 20, verses 20 through 21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We sing a song. Just a closer walk with Thee. I was still running around a little bit when the Lord first saved me, and then I got the conscience thing start going on. Wait a minute, that's... God don't like me doing that. That's something I got to stop doing. As life went along further and further, yeah, I stopped doing certain things, but it was because my Lord's grace was growing and showing me the difference between what I used to do and what I should be doing. Just a closer walk with Thee is a song we all sing. Lord, You know this is my plea. Just a closer walk with Thee, let it be. O Lord, let it be. Read on if you would, verses 11 through 18. Strengthened. Remember, we're talking about that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Folks, I'll tell you, there was a time when I wouldn't have even thought about being a little more long-suffering. If you mess with my family, we'd be after you. Those of you who have a lot of brothers in your family, you know what I'm talking about. We had three brothers down the street from my house when I was a little kid. I got stupid one day and messed with one of them. By the end of that day, I hurt really, really, really bad because all three of them came down and took care of John Reeves. Long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us. You see, this is important that we're reading here, because this is telling us that we don't act that way because of anything of done in us. We haven't changed our mind anything. Our Lord is doing it for us. How am I willing now where I was unwilling before? Is because my Lord made me willing in the day of His power, in the day of His love, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and then translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions. Listen to the list here. Listen to this list. He's God of all things. Above all, He's above all. He's above all thrones. He's above all dominions, all principalities. Why do you think that apple falls from the tree? Because God thought it should do so. That's a principality. Or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, and all things that He might have preeminence. Preeminence. What does that word mean? That's a big word, doesn't it? Isn't it? Preeminence. It means to put Him first. It means to hold Him up before all others. In John 3:14, we read these words, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You ever thought about that for just a moment? You got a brazen serpent, snake. There's a whole bunch of serpents moving around out in the middle of the people, biting them and killing them. And the Lord says, "Look to this serpent. Don't believe. Look to the one who is above all. The very one who is an emblem of those that are going about killing. The very thing that's going about killing them. You see, the serpent is sin. Our God had to be made sin. He had to suffer the consequences of sin for His people. And that's exactly what He did. When we talk about our Lord going to the cross, we're not just talking about God Almighty dying. We're talking about the Lord laying down His life for His people, for his sheep, for you and I. Being made sin for us, taking all of our sins upon himself, that when he went into that grave and then arose again on the third day, he left all that in the grave. He paid the price. It was done. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is what we do as children of God, praising our Lord for all things. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, if you would, please. That's to the right. Just a couple of pages, Philippians chapter 2. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from 1 Corinthians 2:2, where Paul is saying these words. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now consider this, if you will. The Apostle Paul is expressing the knowledge of Christ. "I wish to know nothing of you save Jesus Christ." The knowledge of who he is. Excuse me. Sorry. The knowledge of who he is. He's expressing that he wishes to know nothing of them save the knowledge of what the Lord has done. And that's when he says of him crucified. It's more important than anything else about you. Folks, I love that you consider me a pastor and come to me for certain things, whether it be just to go over and help you move your car out of the dirt or to cut down wood or whatever it is you might need of me. I love the fact that I know you all in a personal way. But what blesses my heart is I know you in the sense of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought about what Steve Doyle and I have in common? A biker, a man who worked in the White House. That's a pretty big difference between cultures. But we were brothers, the same in Christ. And what a joy that gave both of our hearts. The Apostle Paul, in saying those words, is expressing the knowledge of Christ, the knowledge of who he is, the knowledge of what he's done. And that's the most important thing. It's to know Christ, is to know where he is right now. Where is Christ right now? He's on his throne above all. Oh. Look with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. "If therefore there any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy. Fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness." Lowliness of mind. Remember I told you about the progression of God's saints. Do you know our Lord says, don't let the right hand know what the left hand is doing? You know why? Because all it takes is for me to figure out what my hand is doing, and I'll start saying, "See what a good guy I am." Maybe you don't do that, but I do. "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." That word exalted, raised up, put on top, above all, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven. Now get a load of this. You see, it's not just humans. It's just not just mankind that bows to the Lord. He's Lord of all. He's Lord of things in heaven. All the angels, whatever God has in creation in the heavens is all His. And things in the earth, everything that you and I can see, everything that turns around this terrestrial ball that we have, everything that turns around us in the sky that we see, He is the Lord of it all. And get a load of this. Oh, here we go. And things under the earth. He's Lord of everything. We saw in our Bible studies on Friday nights the story of the Gadarene who was filled with devils, filled with demons. And the Lord just come out of him. He had no choice. Because he's Lord of them. He's Lord of it all. He's above all. Now look at verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ Jesus is Lord over all. He has all power on his throne of glory. Turn over to Ephesians, again to the right. Just a couple of pages. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 through 23. Paul's prayer for the people at Ephesus is this: that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being illuminated, the eyes of your heart being opened to see the truths of God's words, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Folks, we worship the Almighty, He who is above all things, and this is what the world will know of us. Our God is in the heavens, and He doeth what pleases Him. We worship Jesus Christ as our sovereign Creator. He was before the world was. Jesus Christ has always been Jesus Christ. He just wasn't a man. He wasn't flesh. But He has always been God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us make man in our image. That's in Genesis 1. The great three in one have always been presented in the Word of God. We worship Christ Jesus as our perfect righteousness, our spotless Lamb of God. We worship Christ Jesus as our high priest. He's the one who went into the holiest of holies and shed His blood on the mercy seat for you and I. It's His blood that God the Father looks down upon and sees when He looks upon you and I and sees us as white as snow. Perfect. It is us who are perfected in Him. We worship Jesus Christ as our King on His throne right now. People come to you and say, how can you have such a peace with all the turmoil in the world around you? Because my Lord is ruling it all. How can you deal with this guy that we don't want in the White House anymore? How can you deal with that? Because my Lord put him there. He would have no power at all, just like Pharaoh, if it weren't for God Almighty putting him in that position. To know the Lord Jesus Christ is to know Him where He is right now. Lord of Lords, King of Kings. To be born again when the Lord is when the Lord removes the old unregenerate heart. The black stony heart that says, I will not have this one to rule over me. The heart that is blinded by our sin. The heart that loved our imaginary power, thinking that it is my decision. I will exercise my will. When He's removed the old stony heart that desired to be as God. That's exactly what free willism is. It's man putting himself above God rather than where he should be as a worm. Removing that old heart that would not turn to the true and living God. The heart of deceitful lies. The heart that deceitfully lifts man above what he truly is. To be born again is to be given a new heart. A new heart that's willing. Willing in the day of His love. Willing to come to Him and lift Him up. Willing to declare unto all who we cross paths with, this is my Lord, He who is God. I am not my own. I was bought. Purchased. By the blood of Christ. Now I belong to Him. But even greater, He belongs to me. Would you look with me at the front of today's bulletin? Psalms 19:14, we read these words. Oh, how I pray. This is a prayer in your heart. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is what we declare. We declare, folks, this one who is my strength. We declare this one who is my Redeemer. And one day soon, returning to this earth to gather the remainder of His elect and to judge the wicked. Turn, if you will, to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from Acts chapter 1. Our Lord has come. He has laid down His life for His sheep. He has paid the price with His own blood. And He has arose from the grave. And He has spent some time proving it to His people. Revealing Himself to His true sheep. And now it's time for Him to ascend into heaven. And as the apostles stood there and watched him ascend, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into heaven? Why are you standing there looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Are you with me in Revelation chapter 1? Look at verses 4 through 8. John to the seven churches. That's the completion. The Lord completed creation in 7 days. Just a little side note to you. You know what 666 is? Right now there's a whole lot of people talking about the mark of the beast. Don't take the vaccine, that kind of stupid stuff, because it's a mark of the beast. Some way to put something in you. The mark of the beast is 666. It's the mankind itself. It's imperfection. Because it comes up short of perfection, which is the Lord's creation, the number 7. The God's church, the 7 churches of God. To the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Behold. Behold. Look. Grab a hold of this truth. He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. You ever stop to wonder how that's going to be? I'm going to see him in the clouds. You know, I just thought of this. I wonder if this is one of those things the flat earth people use. Yeah, it just came to my mind. But imagine that. I'm on this side of the earth and I'm seeing the Lord. He's coming in the clouds. And the guy on the other side of the earth, exactly on the other side of the earth as me, he's seeing the same Lord coming in the clouds. Pretty neat, huh? He's above all. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And our Lord says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. The Almighty. Notice the Holy Scriptures have the word italicized. Lifted up. Raised up. Raised up above all else. I ask you again, is Jesus Christ your Lord now? If he has revealed himself as Lord to you, there is no need of anything else. As we grow in grace and the knowledge of him, the world will become strangely dim. As we sing in that song, in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.